Okay, so we're continuing with our sermon series on well-being, mental health and faith. We're looking at God's plan for us growing stronger in our faith and our mental health. There's only two more sermons left in the series. We're thinking about emotional well-being today, and that's because emotions are important. They're not the most important thing. They're not the least important thing. They are important, and therefore we shouldn't ignore them. The reason they're important is because God is an emotional being. God, we read in the Bible, experiences emotions like grief and anger and compassion. Jesus had an emotional life. He felt things and he felt them deeply. He wept tears. He knew dismay. He became furious. He was intensely loving. He experienced joy and was overwhelmed with anguish. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 says this: during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. You can see the emotion in those words, can't you? The emotional life that Jesus had. God has made us and designed us to be emotional beings. It's how we are because God's made us like that. In our Bible reading that we just had, we saw that Elijah experienced really strong emotions, didn't we? If you have the Bible reading in front of you, we've started to print out the Bible reading in four languages now: English, Portuguese, Spanish, and Cantonese. Just scan through it. I did this earlier on, and I saw that Elijah, in those few verses, felt fear, panic, loneliness, hopelessness, despair, wretchedness, and profound disappointment. It's a lot of emotions, isn't it? It's likely that one of the main reasons for Elijah's emotional collapse, because if you remember in the reading, he just said, "I want to die." The reason he felt so low was an acute sense of disappointment. The victory on Mount Carmel did not result in the nation of Israel turning back to God like he hoped it would. And it just crushed him, and he felt so low. That was Elijah, but there's emotions all through the Bible, in the Psalms particularly. For example, Psalm 6, verse 6 says, "I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears." It's really strong emotion, isn't it, in that psalm, and in the prophets as well. And emotions can be very powerful. We can get so angry we lose control, so sad we give up, so anxious we shut down. I wonder, have you ever felt overwhelmed with bitterness, exhausted by sorrow, or consumed with rage? I certainly have. And it can be overwhelming, can't it? Emotions, especially strong ones, can be a bit scary at times because they're so powerful. So how do we understand emotions and then handle them properly so that we can experience emotional well-being? Well, we all need to understand, first of all, that all emotions are important. The negative ones as well as the positive ones. So if we pass an exam, for example, it's right to feel happy. If we receive a gift, it's right to feel gratitude. But also, if we fail an exam, it's right to feel disappointment. If we lose something or someone that we cherish, it's right to cry and maybe feel intense grief. On the one side, denial of emotions is not right. If we push aside or we ignore our emotions when things go wrong, especially, that's not healthy. It will negatively affect our well-being if we continue living like that. But on the other side, being led or controlled by our emotions is not right either. We don't want to think and decide and live by our feelings. If we're controlled by anxiety or anger, for example, that will negatively affect our well-being and probably the well-being of others around us. We need to know the right place for our emotions. We need to understand them and be able to process them correctly. So let's think about how we can understand our emotions. Psychologist Susan David says, really helpfully, I think, emotions are data, not directives. So emotions give us information and insight into ourselves. They tell us about ourselves. And it's important to use our minds to process our emotions so we learn more about ourselves and why we're feeling as we are. Emotions are like lights on a car dashboard. They tell us something is going on which needs to be sorted out and not ignored. Emotions are like windows into what's happening in our hearts. They can give us real insight into what's happening here. Emotions are like signposts telling us what we value most, what our deepest, most profound desires are. Emotions should not be the basis by which we make decisions. They should not control us. We own our emotions. They don't own us. We run our lives, not our emotions. That's really important. Trouble is, it can be quite hard to control our emotions, can't it? And it can be hard to stop them controlling us. It can be really hard sometimes. It's important to note some people experience trauma, and that can actually change the way our brains process and experience emotions. So they become really big and really scary and they take over. That's especially the case in things like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. In these cases, specialist professional help is needed. But what can we do when we might not have experienced trauma, but we do experience especially strong emotions? What can we do? Well, I'd like to tell you about the IAAA process that we can use, found in Dr. Janice Webb's book, Running on Empty. IAAA, this is a really helpful four-step process that we can go through just to help us know what to do when we're experiencing very strong emotions. So, first of all, identify, what is this emotion? We did that earlier, didn't we, with that video. But sometimes it can actually be quite hard to work out what we're feeling, especially if we're experiencing multiple emotions. Or especially when sometimes the secondary emotion may be presenting itself stronger than the actual issue. For example, we may be presenting as being angry, but actually deep down we're scared. It can be really hard, can't it, to work out what we're really feeling. I think we all struggle to articulate what we're feeling sometimes, but especially children. And it's really important that us adults help children to understand, give them space and time to work through what they're feeling, and give them a vocabulary to help them. I am feeling sad right now, etc. When you feel a strong emotion, make time to pause and ask God to help you work out what you're feeling. Identify. Secondly, accept. The emotion is important. It's there for a reason. So we've got to accept it. Can't just push it away or bury it. That's not healthy. You've got to let yourself feel it, even if it's a hard emotion like pain or grief or loss or regret. It's important that we feel these things. Accepting all of our emotions, even the negative ones, is the path to positive and helpful emotional well-being. But at this point, remember, emotions are data, not directives, okay? Feeling an emotion doesn't mean we have to act on it. It's important that we just make space and time to feel what we're feeling. Because it is easy, isn't it, to grab our phones and distract ourselves or grab a drink or something or turn on the TV. But to be healthy, we've got to process it by feeling it. And then thirdly, a tribute. That's really thinking through, why am I feeling this emotion? Is it because of something that just happened? Is it because of something that's currently happening in my life, like an ongoing thing? Is it an old feeling maybe from the past, maybe even as far back as my childhood? Even if we're quite old, child experiences can affect our emotional life now, because child experiences are so powerful. It's good to say, what's going on in my heart right now? You see, our strongest emotions often happen when our deepest desires are challenged. What are your deepest desires? Are they in line with God's desires? You know, when idols in our hearts are challenged, that can often evoke a really strong emotional response from us. And then, fourthly, act. What is this emotion telling me to do? How should I act? What should I do now? Should I watch out? Should I self-protect? Should I protect someone else? Should I speak up? Should I intervene in something? Should I set a limit? Or should I just accept that something affects me? It's important to think this one through, not just rush into an action based on a strong emotion. Is the action, the thing I decide to do, in line with what God wants me to do? Should I even take action here? Every feeling needs to be listened to. That's really important. But not every feeling should be acted on. It's wisdom to sometimes do nothing. It's good to ask God for guidance and help at this point. God, what should I do? I'm feeling this strong thing. Gone through IAAA. What do you want me to do now? When we do these steps, when we're feeling a strong emotion, and we're doing it with the Spirit's help, He will really help us process that emotion, because He knows that we're emotional beings, because He made us that way. He will help us as we lean on Him, and that will lead to emotional well-being. If you want to dig deeper into emotions, there are some mini books available in the lobby about emotions, but also about other aspects of well-being, mental health, and faith. They're free. Please take one, take it home, keep it, read it. They're really helpful books that only take 10 minutes to read to help us in this aspect. I want to finish off now by saying that Jesus is the perfect example of someone with an emotional life, a healthy emotional life. Jesus feels things, He feels them deeply and always rightly. And we see that, don't we? This verse, I love this verse, because it shows us, it reveals Jesus' heart. He wept out of concern for the people living in Jerusalem. That's where that emotion came from, His deep care and concern. That's how He is. And do you know what one of Jesus' strongest emotions was and is? Love. Love for you. Did you know that? Jesus loves you and cares deeply for you. It's as if you are Jerusalem and Jesus is weeping over you because He knows what you're going through now. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what's just happened. He knows what's going to happen that you're not looking forward to or you're worried about. He knows. He loves you. And His love was so great that it made Him go to the cross. It made Him die on the cross. It was love that made Jesus do that. His love is so enormous that He, on the cross, took the punishment we deserve for our sin, even though He hadn't sinned. It was love that made Him take that punishment, be willing to do that. His love is so generous that He makes it possible for us to be accepted fully by God the Father. And His love is so deep. He wants to be with you now and forever. The question is, how will you respond to Jesus' love for you? Will you accept His love or not? I wonder, are you a Christian? Have you come to a place where you've realized just how much Jesus loves you and said, I accept your love for me. I accept you died on the cross for me. I accept you were punished in my place for my sins. Have you done that? Will you respond to his love? It's as if he's reaching out from heaven saying, I love you. Come to me. Follow me. Will you do that? Boys and girls, I did that when I was 12. I remember it distinctly. I realised I'd done lots of things wrong. I realised God, Jesus loved me enough to die for me. And I said, yes, Jesus, I trust in you. I'm sorry for my sins, and I started following him. I'm so glad I did. And I'll continue to follow him. There have been dark times, as in the video Lizzie shared. Jesus has been there through those dark times. There have been happy times. He's been beside me. And there's going to be a time where I'll die, but Jesus will take me through my death into heaven to be with him forever. And that is what gives us ultimate emotional well-being. Make sure you follow Jesus and don't delay. Thank you so much for listening.